بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. مكتبة المعدل المساجد في مصر قريبة والمؤلفة المساعدة يسرها أن تقدم الدرس الأسبوعي في شرح كتاب الدروس المهمة للأمة عزيز بن عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله تعالى، هم بشرحه فضيلة الشيخ محمد عفور حفظه الله تعالى. معدين Publications in conjunction with several مساجد in the to present the class on the book, an important lesson for the Muslim Ummah, which is Abdulaziz ibn Baz, which will be explained by the Honorable Sheikh Muhammad Akur, may Allah preserve him. Fadi yatafadda Sheikh, ana mashkura majura.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: الدرس السادس، شروط الصلاة، وهي تسعة: الإسلام والعقل والتمييز ورفع الحدث.
Sheikh Hamid al-Wazala began by mentioning the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, praising him and invoking his peace and blessings upon our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions. He then said that the author, rahimahullah, has said that the sixth lesson is about the prerequisites of the surah, the shurut al-surah, and they are nine. There are nine of them. They are firstly Islam, having one's intelligence or one's mental faculties, being of age, and removing ritual impurities from the body and place of prayer.
قوله شروط الشرط في اللغة العلامة، وفي الاصطلاح ما يلزم من عدمه العدم، ولا يلزم من وجوده وجود، نعم.
When he said the shurut, what are the prerequisites for the salah? Linguistically, the word shart means a sign, and in the Islamic terminology, what is meant by the shart is something which, if it is not present, something else is necessarily not present. But if it is present, something is not necessarily present.
فيلزم من عدم الطهارة عدم الصلاة، ولا يلزم من وجود الطهارة وجود الصلاة.
And so when there is no tahara, no ritual purity, automatically there is no salah, one cannot pray. And if one does have purity, it doesn't necessarily mean that they prayed.
فلا يقبل قوله وهي تسعة الإسلام، فلا يقبل من الكافر صلاة أصلا.
And so, because the first of the conditions is Islam, salah is not accepted from a kafir, from a disbeliever.
لأن عمله مردود لقوله تعالى: ما كان للمشركين أن يعمروا مساجد الله شاهدين على أنفسهم بالكفر أولئك حبطت أعمالهم وفي النار هم خالدون.
It's because the actions of worship of the disbelievers are not acceptable to Allah Azza wa Jalla. As Allah says, ما كان للمشركين أن يعمروا مساجد الله. It is not befitting for the polytheists to build the houses of Allah. شاهدين على أنفسهم بالكفر. While they bear witness to themselves, they are disbelievers. أولئك حبطت أعمالهم. Those are the ones whose deeds shall be rendered null and void. وفي النار هم خالدون. And they shall reside in the hellfire forever and ever.
قال والعقل أي من شروط الصلاة العقل وضده الجنون والمجنون مرفوع عنه الكلم حتى يزيد.
The second of the prerequisites of the salah is having one's mental faculties, the aqal. And the opposite of this condition is one being in a state of being crazy. And the person who's crazy, the pin has been lifted from them, so they're not responsible for praying.
وفي الحديث رفع القلم عن ثلاثة النائم حتى يستيقظ والمجنون حتى يفيق والصغير حتى يبلغ.
And the hadith says that the pin has been lifted from three people, three types of people. The sleeping person until he wakes up, the crazy person until he regains his faculties, and the child until he comes of age.
قال والتمييز أي من شروط الصلاة التمييز وحدده بعض أهل العلم بسبع سنين وكل صبي فهم الخطاب ورد الجواب فهو مميز.
The third of the prerequisites for the salah is being of age. Some of the scholars have said that the child of 7 years is the one who has reached this age. Others have said that any child who reaches a state where he understands when he is asked a question and gives an appropriate answer, then he has reached the age where he's responsible for praying.
تصح منه الصلاة لصحة قصده ويؤمر بها ولا تجب عليه إلا بعد البلوغ.
And so the salah is acceptable from him. He is to be ordered to pray. However, it's not obligatory upon him to pray such that he sins if he doesn't until he reaches the age of 10 years old.
قال عليه الصلاة والسلام مروا أبناءكم بالصلاة لسبع واضربوهم عليها لعشر ففرقوا بينهم في المضاجع.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, command your children to pray at the age of 7 and hit them if they don't by the age of 10 and separate them in the beds.
قال ورفع الحدث أي من شروط الصلاة رفع الحدث والمقصود بها الطهارة من الحدث لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يقبل الله صلاة بغير طهور.
The fourth of the prerequisites is removing ritual impurities. And what is meant is making tahara, is purifying oneself. And the evidence of this is a statement of the Prophet ﷺ that Allah does not accept the prayer of any of you until he makes purification.
والطهارة من الحدث تنقسم إلى قسمين. الطهارة من الحدث الأصغر وهو الوضوء.
And this purification is divided into two categories. Purification from the minor impurities, and this is by making wudu.
والطهارة من الحدث الأكبر والغسل. والغسل تعميم الجسد بالماء مع المضمضة والاستنشاق.
And the second category is purifying oneself from the major impurities, and this is takes place in the form of making ghusl. And ghusl, by definition, is washing the entire body with water, as well as rinsing out the mouth and the nose.
ويشترط للوضوء شروط. أولا الإسلام. ثانيا العدل. ثالثا التمييز. رابعا النية.
And there are prerequisites that must be in place in order for one to properly make wudu, in order for their wudu to be accepted. A person must be a Muslim, he must be of age, and he must have the intention to make the wudu.
خامسا انقطاعه موجب، سادسا طهورية ماء وإباحته، سابعا الاستنجاء أو الاستجمار قبله.
عفوا شيخ، ممكن نعيد النقطة هذه؟
الخامس انقطاع موجب يعني من بول أو غائط، السادس طهورية ماء وإباحته يعني يكون الماء طاهرا ومباحا ليس مغصوبا ولا مسروكا، السابع استنجاء أو استجمار قبل الوضوء يعني إذا بال الإنسان أو تغوط يجب عليه أن يدفع النجاسة باستنجاء أو استجمار، هذا من شروط الوضوء. نعم.
The other prerequisites of making wudu are that anything that makes wudu necessary, such as relieving oneself, one must be finished. The impurities cannot be leaving the body while they're in the process of making wudu. They have to be finished doing it. And so, also, what goes along with that is that after a person relieves oneself, they have to wash the private parts, either by wiping or by washing with water, before they can start making wudu.
سابعا إزالة ماء من حصول الماء إلى البشرة. تاسعا دخول وقت الصلاة على من حدثه دائم.
The eighth condition is that the water must reach the skin. There must be nothing preventing it from reaching the skin. And ninthly, is that if a person has a continual, some medical condition that makes them continually break their wudu, then they're not allowed to make wudu until the time of the prayer begins.
أما الطهارة الكبرى أو الاغتسال فموجبات الغسل أولا خروج المني دفقا بلذة، أما إذا كان نائما فلا يشترط.
As for the major purification, which is by making ghusl, what makes it obligatory is firstly the a discharge of semen, which is a strong gushing discharge, which takes place with pleasure. However, if the person is sleeping, it doesn't necessarily have to gush and be with pleasure, just that if there is a discharge and the person has to make ghusl.
فمتى وجد الماء فإنه يغتسل لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الماء من الماء، يعني إذا كان الإنسان احتلم وهو نائم فلا يشترط أن يذكر احتلاما، بل إنه إذا وجد المني وجب عليه الاغتسال.
So whenever a person wakes up after sleeping and finds that they've had a discharge, then it's obligatory upon them to make ghusl, and they don't have to remember having had a wet dream. As the Prophet ﷺ said, water is only through water, or that water which is obligatory, which you have to make ghusl, wash your body with water, is only necessary if there is a discharge of water or other fluid from the body.
ثانيا الوطء في الفرج لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا جلس بين شعابها الأربع ومس الختان الختان وجب الغسل لو لم ينزل.
The second thing which makes it obligatory on a person to make the major purification or ghusl is having intercourse, and for a man to have intercourse with a woman in her private part, as the statement of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam says, if he sits between her four limbs, then it's obligatory for him to make a ghusl, and it's not necessary that he ejaculates.
ثالثا الموت سيجب تغسيل الميت لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المحرم اغسلوه بماء وسدر.
The third thing which makes it obligatory for a person to have a ghusl performed on them is if they die. When a person dies, it's obligatory for someone to wash the body before burying them. As the Prophet ﷺ commanded the person who died, he said that wash, and he commanded the others to wash his body with water and cedar.
رابعا خروج دم الحيض والنفاس.
The fourth thing that makes ghusl obligatory is the discharge of blood for women, which is either menstrual blood or the postpartum blood.
هذه موجبات الغسل أربعة أشياء: خروج المني والوطء في الفرج والموت وخروج دم الحيض والنفاس. هذه الأشياء الأربعة توجب الغسل. والغسل نوعان: غسل كامل وغسل مجزئ.
So these are the four things which make ghusl obligatory: the discharge of semen, intercourse in the privates, death, and the discharge of blood, whether it's menstrual blood or postpartum blood. And there are two types of ghusl. There is a complete ghusl and a satisfactory ghusl.
فالغسل الكامل هو ما ورد عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت: كان إذا اغتسل من الجنابة يبدأ فيغسل يديه.
The complete type of ghusl is what was narrated in the hadith of Aisha رضي الله عنها, when she said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, if he would make ghusl, he would begin by washing his hands.
ثم يفرغ بيمينه على شماله فيغسل فرجه ثم يتوضأ وضوءه للصلاة.
So he would wash his right hand, then his left hand, then his privates, then make wudu just as he would when making salah.
ثم يأخذ الماء ويدخل أصابعه في أصول الشعر حتى إذا رأى عنكب استبرأ حفن على رأسه ثلاث حفيات.
Then he would take the water and make it reach the roots, the very bottom part of his hair. And when he was sure that the water had totally penetrated, he would rub his hair, washing it three complete times, doing that with water.
ثم أصاب على سائر جسده ثم غسل رجليه. رواه البخاري ومسلم.
Then he would pour the water over the rest of his entire body, and when he was finished doing that, he would wash both of his feet. It was reported by Bukhari and Muslim.
أما المجزئ فيعمم جسده بالماء مع المضمضة والاستنشاق.
The other type of ghusl, which is the satisfactory bare minimum type, is washing the entire body while rinsing out the mouth and nose.
والغسل من الجنابة يرفع الحدث الأكبر والأصغر ولو لم ينوي ارتفاع الحدث الأصغر على الكول الراجح.
And making ghusl removes both the major and minor impurities from the body, even if the person does not intend to remove the minor impurity from the body, and this is, in spite of the difference of opinion, the most correct statement.
وأما الأغسال المستحبة فمنها أولا غسل يوم الجمعة بحديث من جاء منكم الجمعة فليغتسل.
The preferred times of making ghusl are firstly on Fridays because of the hadith of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said when Jumu'ah arrives then make ghusl.
ثانيا من الأغسال المستحبة تغسيل الميت بحديث من غسل ميتا فليغتسل.
The other time when it's preferred to make ghusl is after having washed a dead person prepared the way for burial. The hadith that says, whoever washes a dead body will he himself bathe.
ثالثا من الأغسال المستحبة الغسل للعيدين. فقد روى البيهقي عن هذا قال: سأل رجل علي رضي الله عنه عن الغسل
The third type of preferred making a ghusl is on the 2 days of Eid, for what was reported in Al-Bayhaqi, that a man asked the Prophet ﷺ about making the ghusl,
قال اغتسل كل يوم إن شئت. قال لا.
He said, make ghusl every day if you wish. And the man said, no.
قال لا الغسل الذي هو الغسل. قال يوم الجمعة ويوم عرفة ويوم النحر ويوم الفطر.
So he said, the ghusl, he said, make it on Friday and the day of Eid and the day of Nahr, the day of Eid, which is Eid al-Fitr, and the day of Eid, which is Eid al-Adha, and the day of Arafat.
رابعا من الاغتسال المستحب من الاغماء لانه صلى الله عليه وسلم اغتسل من الاغماء متفق عليه.
The fourth time when it's preferred to make ghusl is after a person faints, because it's authentically reported by the Prophet.
خامسا للاستحاضة عند كل صلاة لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لزينب بنت جحش اغتسلي لكل صلاة.
Another time it is preferred to make ghusl is if a woman has a perpetual menstruation that never stops. The Prophet ﷺ told one of the female companions, Zainab, this, that to make ghusl for every salah.
سادسا للإحرام بالحج أو العمرة لحديث زيد رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تجرد لإهلاله واغتسل.
The sixth preferred time of making ghusl is when entering into the state of Ihram, when one intends to make Hajj or Umrah, for the hadith reported by Zayd, he said that when the Prophet entered into the state of Ihram, that he removed his clothing and bathed.
سابعا عند دخول مكة لأن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما كان لا يقدم مكة إلا بات بذي طواء.
The seventh time for preferred ghusl is when entering upon Mecca. This is the practice of Umar radiallahu anhu.
حتى إذا أصبح يغتسل يدخل نهارا ويذكر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعله.
As he would do so in the early part of the day, and he mentioned that it was the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم who first did so.
وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. في الدرس القادم إن شاء الله نكمل شروط الصلاة.
And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon Master Muhammad. Inshallah, in our next class, we will continue and finish the rest, the remaining conditions and prerequisites of the Salah. Jazakum Allah kulla khayr, Shaykhna. Allah yahfazhuk.
Hayyakum Allah. Hayyakum Allah, barak fiikum.
Allah
barakum,
Shaykh. Assalamu alaikum. Allah barakatuh. Alaikum salam. Allah barakatuh.